Welcome back to the Exynos Born to Trade podcast. Today, we're joined here again with Michael Stark. Michael, how are you?
Hi, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Nice to see you again.
You too.
Thanks last time we were here, we discussed longevity in trading. Okay. Definitely how traders can stay in the game or stay in the market as long as possible using risk management techniques, et cetera, et cetera. What I wanted to dive into today, which is something of a more of a undiscussed topic within trading, is control in trading. For me, when I'm thinking about control in trading, I'm thinking about the ability to make the right decisions correctly and efficiently. How important do you believe that it is for traders to have the right tools, trading tools, in order to make their decisions and have, let's say, control in their trading?
Yeah, I think that's really important. It's very important to have the right tools to be able to do that. But I think also, and while how you understand control, I would very much agree with that. But I would emphasize that we don't just have tools and like actual tools, I mean, on a tab or on a phone or on a computer. We also have our mental tools to try to maintain control. And I think it's the software tools, the practical tools that the platform gives us, that our broker gives us, is what helps us also to develop our own mental tools. So the two, I would say, go hand in hand. But yeah, it's extremely important to be in control. I mean, to some degree, you have to be in control to be able to do pretty much anything.
When we talk about control, and whether it's trading or in life, I mean, it's a kind of a peculiar subject in the sense that, I mean, do we really have control? And when it comes to trading, there's so many moving parts, just with market movements, geopolitical events, to platforms and efficiency of the platforms and execution and whatnot. What is your really thoughts on the ability for a trader to actually really be in control of the markets?
Yeah, you certainly can't control the markets, but what you can control is your exposure to them. I mean, it's entirely, as a trader, it's entirely your choice. Are you actually going to make this trade? Are you going to press sell or are you not going to do anything? So that's totally up to you. And that I think is the emotional aspect of it, which is quite important. I mean, there's a question of, okay, I've made the decision to trade and I'm aware that this position that's open, maybe it's going to go well, maybe it's going to go badly. But the emotional side is also after it goes badly and you hit your stop, let's say, do you say, oh man, I'm going to take revenge on the markets. Can't believe they did that to me. Markets are people. They're out to get me. And then you make more trades and then you end up losing more money. Or do you have control, take a step back, learn from what went wrong and try to apply the lesson for next time?
Got it. So the control for the trader will be managing the risks and then obviously control within their emotions.
Yes.
Got it. I think the risk is one thing because there's formulas and ways to navigate that smoothly, but the managing the emotions, I think, can be the most complex part in trading, at least for me personally. What about you, Wood? I mean, where have you found in your trading career that control was the biggest challenge for you or issue?
I'd say probably when execution is less good. I mean, in some situations, when especially if you're trading an exotic forex pair out of hours, then execution is less likely to be good and liquidity is also going to be lower. That's not really a question of emotional control. It's a question of like everybody's in that situation. If you want to trade like dollar rand, for example, at like 3 in the morning GMT, for example, then the execution is not going to be great compared to if it was in session and the liquidity is not going to be great. So, I mean, one aspect of that, of course, is that the spreads can be higher and the execution sometimes isn't going to be so great. And definitely doing major news. Also, I think it's really important to be able to improve control compared to the average during events like an FP or meeting press conference of the Fed, this sort of thing. It's really important to have good liquidity, reliable execution, both entering the position and also processing the target and the stop. This is really important, especially if you're a scalper. Yeah.
Got it. And, you know, speed can make or break a trade, right?
Yes.
So, particularly in volatile markets, what we're seeing, you know, with gold prices, Bitcoin prices, oil even's been moving a lot over the last couple of weeks as well. Going lower than I expected. It broke 70 level. WTI was quite surprised to see that. Mm-hmm. I was going along on my personal strategies. But how, in your opinion, do you think that fast execution and reliable execution impacts people's ability to make profits or maximize their profits or to be successful within their trading strategies? How important is it?
I think it's really important. But I mean, it's to different degrees important for different strategies. So if you're a position trader, for example, no, it's not super important, the execution. It's up there, but it's not like one of the most important things. Whereas if you're a scalper, especially if you're scalping the most important economic news, it's absolutely critical to have the trade executed as soon as possible. And if you look at how Exynos executes for gold specifically around the time of the NFP and how it actually gets the pricing to the platform, it's faster than all of the main competitors. And that makes a huge difference because if, for whatever reason, you haven't got a pending order set up and you're using a market order, then you get those extra few milliseconds, or in some cases, extra few actual full seconds to see where is the price gone? What is the price that I'm actually going to get now if I want to enter this trade? And that's totally like super critical for a scalper, because if you're trading with somebody else and then you want to enter at, let's say, I don't know, 2,670 for gold to buy, and in the 5 seconds, sometimes it's even longer, the price could go up or down by $5, which can make a huge impact on the profitability of that trade. So I think critical. It's totally, it's essential, yeah.
Critical. Uh-huh. So would you say that a fast execution is more vital to a trader than, let's say, lower spreads?
Definitely, yeah, I think so.
Pretty passionate about that.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. I certainly think so. I mean, I've been in that position of like sitting there and like trying to trade the NFP and like you're clicking the button buy, you're clicking and clicking it, waiting like 20, 25 seconds, nothing happens. And then suddenly 10 orders open at once. You're like, oh no. And that's the worst thing. You really just don't want to completely lose control when you can't control the markets entirely. No, but I mean, a broker can really help to give traders more control, I believe.
So your passion about execution sounds clearly from personal experience.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Got it. Okay. Look, let's shift gears, Michael. Let's talk about platform stability. Mm-hmm. I see most brokers are using MetaTrader 4, MetaTrader 5. Mm-hmm. It's not all the same, is it?
No, that's true. It's definitely not. No. Uh-huh. And I mean, within MarketWatch and within, I think also within the overall kind of like look and feel, if you compare Exynos' web platform and MT5, and I personally, I mean, I'm a little bit biased, but I think they both have particular things they do better and particular things they do worse. I'm not sure there's necessarily one that's better than the other, but certainly in terms of the feel and the kind of ambience, if you will, of Exynos' platform definitely is something that's an important factor. It's just kind of neglected. Whereas MT5, it essentially looks the same as MT4 and hasn't really been updated for a long time.
In your opinion, is it critical for traders to be able to execute their trades without any slippage? Can you trade without slippage?
No. The first answer is no. And the second answer, I think, is also no. Okay. Because, I mean, okay, yes. Let's take a hypothetical scenario. You're using instant execution,
yep,
and you want to trade the NFP and you set your maximum deviation to like, I don't know, you'd have to set it pretty high, I expect. But let's imagine you do that. Technically, it's not slippage because you're aware of it and you're saying like, I'm aware that it's going to be differential. Mm-hmm. It's going to be different from the price by this much. But I mean, the end result is still slippage. And you can't have a financial market without slippage. I mean, that is to say an electronic financial market without slippage. It's impossible to have no slippage. Mm-hmm. But then I think equally...
Then how do you know if it's, not to interrupt you, Michael, but how do you know if when you're having slippage, is it real slippage or is it kind of a manipulated type of slippage, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the best thing to do would be to go into the tick history for a broker that does offer its tick history.
I don't know too many brokers that give their tick history or want to give their tick history. It's not a, there's only a handful of brokers, but I know Exynos does.
Yes, exactly. So for Exynos, there's the tick history. And I think also it's experience. You know, if you've traded the NFP with a certain broker before and such a thing has happened, it might sometimes be a one-off. It happens. Sometimes, you know, there is some kind of error. There is an overload in terms of the amount of volume or something like that. We should try to give a couple of chances, I think. But if consistently we see that a particular broker directly compared with two or three or four others has more slippage, has worse execution, and has a higher spread around the news time, probably we don't really want to be trading with that. As a scalper, at least, you certainly don't want to be putting up with that.
Got it.
So, and I mean, what's high, it depends totally on the person, but I mean, you don't want to have like dozens of pips of slippage, certainly.
Got it. So the takeaway that I have from you being even more experienced than myself is speed, execution, and stability. These are the three key elements for a trader to be aware of and that are critical for their longevity, let's say, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. And also critical for like both actually being in control and also the kind of mental or emotional perception of control. Because like if you're sitting in front of the platform and clicking and it's not responsive, it's not doing anything, then you're actually out of control. But also it's psychologically, I think, quite powerful, especially if you're a new scalper, psychologically like really damaging, okay. I find. Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that. Well, look, Michael, we've covered a lot of topics today. I certainly learned a lot. I didn't realize that execution was as important until you explained to me why it was. So thank you for that. And I hope some of our listeners understood that as well. We've covered a lot of ground today, Michael, from stability to execution. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thanks again for joining us, Michael. It's been a pleasure. For our listeners who missed the previous episode, you shared some valuable insights on trading longevity, which ties in well with today's theme of taking control.